But we'll go ahead and take the Word of God and turn to John chapter 14. Really, this message will go right along with this morning, what has taken place. And really, as we look at Jesus Christ, and in that last few days with the disciples, and as he speaks to the disciples, and he speaks about peace. You know, as we think about everything that's going on in this world, sometimes we wonder, how can I have peace? And yet, as Jesus Christ looks at us, he desires every believer to have that true peace. And you know, as we think about this passage, as Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and we'll read just a verse or two. At first, John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus speaks to the disciples. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe." And so as Jesus is speaking to the disciples, he says, "Peace I leave with you." And he says, it's not the same peace that the world tries to give you. He says, "I give you my peace." You know, as you think about this passage, and you think about all that is going to take place for the disciples, a few days before, you think of the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ as he goes into Jerusalem. Everybody is crying out, "Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Lord." And I'm sure even in the disciples' hearts, they are thinking, this is the time. Jesus Christ is going to come in. He's going to set up his kingdom. I mean, I'm sure there was excitement in their hearts. And then a few days later, John chapter 13, Jesus says, "I'm leaving." You know, the hardest words I think any of us can hear are those words about somebody leaving us. Maybe a loved one, it could be they're passing away, maybe they have a disease or something, and they know they're not going to be around much longer. Maybe it's when a child is leaving the home. Maybe it's a spouse or different things that have happened. And whenever there's a parting, all of a sudden there's the anxiety of what is going to happen now? What are we going to do now? And you know, as you think about the disciples, you know, as I was studying this, and sometimes I don't think we necessarily put ourselves in their shoes. Have you ever had a bad week? I mean, a week that you felt it could not get worse. Some are shaking their head and thinking, "I've had a bad day today." And you think, you wake up in the morning and everything is going perfectly fine, and then all of a sudden, you get to church. Wow. What has happened? And the thoughts that go through your mind, what are we going to do now? There may have been other times you've received a phone call of something happening, and your day is going great, and all of a sudden, everything changes. And I believe that is what is really happening to the disciples. Everything is going great, and all of a sudden Jesus says, "I'm leaving." And then the next few days, it just seems, can it even get any worse? Watching their Savior being taken from the garden. A mob of soldiers coming to take him away. Watching the one that they had followed for 3 years being beaten. Being just tortured in a sense. Placing the crown of thorns on his head. And it wasn't just their leader. This is the one that they had thought is, this is our Messiah. This is the one that we have traveled with for 3 years. This is the one that has fed us. The one that we have seen watch perform miracle after miracle, healing the blind, healing the lame. And now watching him being taken away. You know, it's hard for us even as we watch different things on the news about things that are going on in the Middle East. And the torture that is being done to people. But what if we were there watching that happen? How it would wrench our hearts. But what if we were there watching Jesus? And yet in the midst of that, Jesus says, you can have peace. And you know, as we think about peace and we wonder, well, what is peace? If you read the dictionary, what they say about peace, it's often described as the absence of strife, freedom from disturbance, a period in which there is no war. Well, when you read that definition, can there ever be peace on earth? Can there ever be peace? But I believe peace, true peace, is not necessarily what is going on around us. It's what's going on within us. And true peace, as you think about it, peace is not the absence of chaos. It is the calm assurance that God is in control of the chaos around us. And you know, as we think about our lives, yes, we would love to sit by the seaside. Earlier this week, we had a nice holiday sitting on Timby Beach, and everything is perfectly calm, but that is not a picture of our life. It seems like so many things going on in our life. And as we look at John chapter 14, there are certain things as Jesus Christ, I believe he's speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to them how we can have true peace. The very end of John chapter 13, Simon Peter said unto him, verse 36, "Whither goest thou?" Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." Verse 37, Peter said unto him, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." Peter, you can already see the anxiety building up within him. He's saying, "I will die for you. I will lay down my life for you." But remember when Jesus spoke, and he spoke about peace, he says, "My peace I give you." You know, every one of us, we have different trials. Your trial may not be the same as my trial. My trial may not be your trial. But even around the world, we think of all the different things happening, and it causes us to have anxiety. As we think about Jesus and the peace that he is giving to us, did he ever have any problems? Did he ever have, maybe it's family problems. Did he ever have family problems? Well, he had, his brothers did not believe that he was the Messiah until after the resurrection. So you think of when he was being mocked and criticized, they were there too. You think about relational problems. One of his closest disciples, one of the 12, betrayed him for money. You think of housing problems. Well, Jesus says, Son of Man does not have a place to lay his head. You think about financial problems. Well, when it came time and Peter was asked about paying taxes, Jesus told him to go fishing, to catch a fish. And if Jesus had the money in his pocket, he probably would have pulled it out and gave it to him. And you think about all these different things. Did he face danger? Well, yes, even as a baby, Herod tried to kill him. And all throughout his life. And yet, he still had peace. But yet there was one time, I believe, that he didn't have peace. As he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was praying in agony about, "Father, let this cup pass from me." And then remember, as he hung on the cross, as he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The bedrock of having peace, the peace of God, is having peace with God. And Jesus Christ gave up that peace with God for that time, taking upon our sin upon himself. So he took it on himself for a moment so that we could have peace for all eternity when we put our faith and trust in him. And as Jesus Christ is speaking to the disciples, we'll begin John chapter 14, verse 1, as he begins speaking. And I believe he's speaking to the troubled hearts here. The comfort for the troubled heart. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way, ye know. As Jesus, he tells them, I'm leaving. And Peter says, wait a minute, don't leave us. I'll go wherever you go. I'll even die for you. But as Jesus responds, you know, sometime for the troubled heart, it's almost as though, Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care about us? Why are you leaving us? And as Jesus responds to them, he says, yes, I do care about you. In a sense, he's saying, I am going for you. The disciples were looking at it as Jesus is leaving from them, but Jesus is saying, I am going for you. And you know, as Jesus went to the cross and they watched that happen, he's saying, I am being crucified for you. As he rose again, he's saying, I rose again for you. As he ascended back up into heaven, he's saying, ascended again for you. And what he has done has been for us. The different trials that we face, and I'm sure the disciples are wondering, what are we going to do now? The one we've traveled with. And even after Jesus was crucified, remember what they did? They went back to fishing. In a sense, they were probably lost in a sense. Their occupation, what were they going to do now? Their leader had been taken away. Everything that they had known for the last 3 years has been gone in a sense. But Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. You know, many times when we think about trials or troubles, it's the temporal things around us. Jesus says, yes, I care about your temporal, but I also care about your eternal. Many times we're looking at retirement and what is going to be there for my pension when it's time for me to retire. Jesus says, yes, I understand the importance for that, but what about for all of eternity? You know, as you think about it, people around us, many times people in this world, they don't think about that. I heard about a story of an elderly man talking to a young gentleman. And he says, what are your plans once you finish school? Well, my plan is going off to university. The man says, and then? Well, get married. And then? Well, have a good job, good career. And then? Well, have children. And he kept on asking, and then? Well, and have grandchildren. And then? Well, then I'm going to retire. And then? Well, I guess I'm going to die. And then he asked the one more time, and then? And as we think about as believers, Jesus Christ has prepared a place for us, and we will spend eternity with him forever and ever. And as he speaks to the troubled hearts, ones that maybe are saying, God, don't you care about me? And he says, yes, I care about you so much. I am preparing a place for you. As we go down to verse 9, I believe he's speaking to the uncertain heart. Verse 9, he says, have I been so long time with you? Hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? And over the next few verses, notice the word believest. He says, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And as Jesus is speaking to them, I believe as we look at verse 12, and as he mentions, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. I'm sure in the disciples' minds they're looking at Jesus as he's going to leave, and they're wondering, how are we going to do anything without you? I mean, this is the one that any time they ever had a problem, they went to Jesus. When they were the feeding of the 5,000, and Jesus asked them what they had. Well, we have 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus breaks the bread, and he has it passed out. As they're in the midst of the storm, and they're crying out, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Jesus says, peace, be still. And any time that they had a problem, they went to Jesus. And they saw the works and the miracles, and now they're wondering, if Jesus is gone, what are we going to do? How are we going to do any work? How are we going to spread the gospel? How are we going to tell people about you? If you're gone and we're not able to do anything else. But he mentions there, he that believeth, and I believe true peace comes from trusting him. But he says, greater works than these shall he do. But then as he mentions in verse 13 and verse 14, he says, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. In one sense, as Jesus says, yes, I'm leaving, but I'm still listening. You know, in one sense, as our family moved away from America, came over here to Wales, many people have asked us, well, don't you miss your family? And the answer, of course, is yes. You know, one of the things that has made it easier to move overseas is this, a phone. And any time I want to, I can call them up. Now, at certain times, they might be sleeping. If it's in the morning, for us, 5 hours difference. And in fact, I have one sister that lives all the way over in Oregon, so 8 hours difference. But any time I need, I can pick up the phone and make a phone call. I remember especially when we were living up in Birmingham about 8 years ago. And if I had car problems, I'd give my dad a call. Hey, Dad, this is what is happening to my car. What do I need to do? And he would tell me what I needed to do. And you know, I think in the same sense, the disciples are wondering, what are we going to do when we have problems? And Jesus says, I'm still listening. You might not be able to see me, but I can still hear you. You know, we know that Jesus Christ is now sitting at the right seat of hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. And even as we pray in Jesus' name, we are going to the Father through Jesus Christ, and He is interceding for us. You know, that ought to give us peace that passeth all understanding, knowing that God is hearing our prayers because of what Christ has done for us. And then as he continues on, in verse 16, he begins speaking to the lonely heart. Of course, any time somebody leaves, you're left all alone. And there's a fear that comes over us when we're all alone. But in verse 16, he continues on. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. As Jesus is speaking to them, he begins speaking about the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm leaving you, but I'm not leaving you comfortless. I will send the Holy Spirit. And notice there, as he mentions, that he may abide with you forever. When the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us, he's not leaving us. And then also, in the end of verse 17, he says, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. You know, as Jesus Christ, as he was on this earth, during his earthly ministry, sometimes we think, you know what? It would have been great to be one of the disciples. To sit under Jesus' teaching. To hear him. To be with him everywhere he went. But you know, as we think about Jesus in his earthly ministry, he was only in one place at one time. And so as the disciples spread out two by twos preaching, they had to leave Jesus behind. But now, as the Holy Spirit has come within us, as believers, he's dwelling in us, we never have to leave him behind. Everywhere we go, he is with us. You know, there's fear when we're all alone, but we don't have to be afraid. As a child, about 10 years old, our family had a small farm. We had about 6 cows or so, and we would raise them. And my responsibility was to feed them. You know, some days I would forget to feed them. But the problem was the cows never forgot. And the barn, it was about 100 meters at least from the house, and 10 o'clock at night, and the cows are mooing and mooing, and my dad would ask, "Have you fed the cows?" "I think so." Well, the cows don't think so. So I would have to go out to the barn, completely dark, and I would run as fast as I could, get to the barn, go up the ladder as fast as I could, throw the hay down, and I would sprint back to the house. But you know, with my brother, who was only about 5 years older than me, he wasn't that big of a guy. He wasn't that strong. But if he was with me, I didn't have that fear. And you know, even Noah, sometimes he doesn't like going upstairs in the house if nobody else is there. But as long as somebody else is there with him, he's fine. You know, it's in our hearts, there's times where we feel all alone. We feel as though people have forsaken us. People have deserted us. Is anybody with me? Does anybody care? Is anybody listening to me? But Jesus, as he mentions throughout these verses, he says, "Yes, I care about you. Yes, I'm listening to you. And yes, I will always be with you." You know, we face many different trials. We face many different things that come up in our lives. And at one moment, we may feel as though we're at the top of the mountain. And it doesn't take long to where we feel we're at the bottom. And for the disciples, I mean, to be honest, I believe this was the most traumatizing week they would have ever had, watching their Savior being crucified. But yet in the midst of it, Jesus told them, "You can still have peace." And I believe all that is going on today in the world around us, and as you watch the news, Jesus says, "You can still have peace. I care about you, not only in your present life, but for all of eternity. I'm listening to you." As he mentions, "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified." And then also, the Holy Spirit is dwelling inside of us. And remember, true peace, it's not about what's going on around us. It's what's going on within us. True peace, it's not the absence of chaos, but it's knowing that God is in control of the chaos. Let's pray.